Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal.
Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Columbia country artist Chad Brownlee continues to climb the country charts and CMT with hit songs from his album, Love Me or Leave Me. These chart toppers include the title track, Love Me or Leave Me, Smoke in the Rain, Listen, and the brand new single and video, Crash. Chad's album has been nominated for a Juno for Best Country Album at the Juno Awards coming up later this month. Now let's welcome Chad Brownlee to the show. Hey, Chad.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, terrific. How about you this evening?
I'm doing fantastic, thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, my pleasure. So great to have you here. So many people looking forward to this interview. It's such a hit-filled album, four or five singles on the go, and, of course, the big Juno nomination. Let's talk about that first of all, Chad. How does it feel to have a Juno nomination?
Feels pretty good, I'm not going to lie. you know, to come this far and in such a short amount of time is extremely humbling, especially alongside the other names in the category. But, you know, we've worked really hard and we were very confident in this album and we believed in the music that we're putting out. So, it's quite an honor to be nominated for a Juno.
Now, you co-wrote, I think it looks like, about all but three songs on the album. So you had a big hand in the writing of this. Is songwriting something, Chad, that you've done for quite a while?
Yeah, songwriting is really important to me as an artist. Obviously, it puts my flavor into it. So when I get up on stage, I can sing songs that I believe in that really come from my heart. I actually started songwriting probably when I was 19, so I guess I can't say I've been doing it for a very long time, but it's something that I started doing just strictly out of enjoyment. It was more of a musical journal, just to express myself in a different way, and I'm just lucky enough now that, you know, I'm doing what I love to do, and I can write songs for a living.
And one of the first times, I guess, you were acknowledged for your songwriting was back in your fourth year at Minnesota State University. You were nominated for a humanitarian award for a song you wrote called The Hero I See. I went online to iTunes and listened to that. It's a lovely song. Talk about, I know there's a very moving story behind that.
Yeah, I can't even take credit for much of that song, even though I was the writer. All of it goes to Anthony Ford, the young boy who died from leukemia. He was a big part of our community in the college town that I played in, and he used to come out to practices after he was diagnosed, and, you know, we'd go over to his house, his family would cook us dinner, and we'd play street hockey with him, and he became a little brother to everybody on our team, so it really hit the community when he lost his battle to cancer, and I felt the best way to carry on his legacy and his life was to write a song about him, because music really can help people live on, and I think that song has done that. People still listen to it today, and it keeps the memory in the front of mind of Anthony, because he inspired a lot of people at the tender age of 9.
That's amazing, and that is what music does, and especially country music. There is so much hope and so much inspiration in country lyrics.
Totally, and as a songwriter and as a performer and an artist, the be-all and end-all for me is the impact that it has on other people's lives, and when I get messages or people after shows coming up to me saying that your song helped me through this time or, you know, just took me away from any problems I had for 3.5 minutes, that's what it's about for me. I'm not in this really for myself. I obviously enjoy music, but seeing the impact that it has on people is very, very enriching, And I just hope to keep doing that for years to come.
Now, let's talk about your transition. You were a hockey player, a very good one, and you got very far. Talk about that transition to the world of music.
Yeah, it took a little bit. You know, I'd say about a year before I was comfortable in my musician skin. I played piano and tenor saxophone growing up as a kid, so it wasn't like I just hung up the skates and decided to pursue music. It was always a big part of my life, and it wasn't until my last year playing pro that I realized it was something that I wanted to pursue. It was something that I wanted to do for the rest of my life. So it was a hard yet easy decision to stop playing the game that I've been playing since I was 5 years old. I mean, I completely lost the love for it, and the love for music was growing so much that it was almost undeniable. So, you know, it was tough, obviously, making that phone call home and telling my dad I was going to stop playing because, you know, my parents have put so much time and money and effort into grooming my hockey career, and I got so close and had a sniff at the NHL and didn't quite, you know, become a regular player in the NHL, but I don't regret any minute that I spent in a hockey rink because I think it really has made me who I am today as an artist. But it took some time to really transition from one world to the next.
I was going to say that there's probably skills at hockey, not the specific skills, but sort of transferable skills, what it took to be successful at that you can apply to your music career.
Absolutely. I mean, it taught me so much discipline and what it really takes to achieve something and to excel at something, how many hours you actually have to put in. And I've applied all of that into music. And like I was saying, it's made me the artist and the musician and the songwriter I am today because of all those hours I spent working on a craft and seeing how much it really does take.
And it is all that hard work, and unless people really read up on someone's career, you know, you turn on the radio or CMT and you see someone, you think, wow, they came out of nowhere. But it's all these years and passion that took that artist to get to the spot you're seeing them now.
Yeah, there's a quote I think that encompasses that, and it's overnight success takes 10 years to achieve, and I
right.
think that's how you have to look at it. You know, when you're going towards something, it's you're not just going to decide to do something and you're successful at it, although success is a relative definition. But it takes a lot of time and commitment, and as long as you enjoy what you do, you will be successful.
Now, you've had a chance to take part in some pretty big tours, and one of them being Dierks Bentley Country and Cold Cans Tour 2012. And Dallas Smith, the Boys of Fall, you and Dallas were out performing across Ontario and, I guess, across Canada as well. Dallas is a great artist. Love his music. He's got a bunch of hits at radio as well. Maybe talk about Dallas first, and then let's backtrack to Dierks Bentley Tour.
Yeah, it was pretty cool touring around Canada with Dallas and the crew. He's such a good guy, such a great musician, and I listened to him back when he was with Default, and I mean, I was listening to him in the dressing room before hockey games. So, as a vocalist, he was somebody that I looked up to. That you know, I'd sing along to the song. So, the fact that we were touring on a bus together was pretty cool. And we're both from the same city. We both live in Langley, and great guy to hang out with. So it's nice to be on a bus with somebody that you enjoy their company and you're good friends with them, and you really support their music too. I'm a fan of what he's doing now. I think all the stuff that he's putting out is just fantastic. His last record was phenomenal, and I mean, I still listen to it now. So it was pretty cool to share the stage and a bus with him, and I feel we're kind of going down the same road, so it's nice to share in our journey.
And what about Dierks? Pretty packed crowd at his concerts.
Definitely, yeah. He was great, and he's another guy that I really looked up to and listened to when I was playing hockey, so very surreal to be touring around with guys like this. And whenever I'd finish a show opening up for him, I'd stand side stage and watch him perform because he's been doing it for a lot more years than I have and has a lot to teach me. So, and again, really humble guy, really awesome to hang out with. And that just seems to be the consensus in the country world. There's a lot of real down-to-earth people, and Dierks Bentley is definitely one of those guys.
If you could pick out of anybody, Canada, the States, in the country world, even a male artist, there's always those kind of duets as well, Keith and Brad. Could you see yourself performing maybe a duet with Dallas, or who would you choose for a female duet?
For a female? Oh, that's a good question. I'm just racking my brain on all the artists. but definitely, you know, Dallas and I think are...
That would be cool.
We sang some songs on... Yeah, we sang some songs together on tour. You know, we'd finish both of our sets and we'd sing a duet song and we'd trade off lines and choruses and verses and people seem to really dig it. You know, our vibes really fit together well. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if, if him and I actually recorded something in the future, but we'll see.
That would be awesome. I saw you guys on YouTube singing his song "Somebody Somewhere" and really worked well together.
Yeah, that was on my front porch there, so that was pretty cool.
And any chance to think about that female partner? I know there's so many choices out there. Anybody come to mind you think your two voices would go well together?
Oh, help me out here. Start shooting out some names.
Carrie Underwood, Terry Clark. We'll go Canadian here. Carolyn Dawn Johnson.
Carolyn Dawn. I'm a huge fan of Carolyn Dawn Johnson. She's such a sweetheart and an amazing vocalist. And I actually, when I first started out, I toured with her for a couple weeks and it was just me and my guitar player. We opened up for Acoustically, and man, that girl can sing. So it'd be pretty cool to team up with her.
Let's turn to the album now. The album is called Love Me or Leave Me, nominated for a Juno for Best Country Album of the Year, and the awards are coming up a bit later this month. Let's turn to Smoke in the Rain. This is a really cool song. Catchy part in it is Hey Now. Everybody sings along to that. What can you tell us about the writing of the song?
We actually wrote that song in Nashville in a cigar shop. And it seemed fitting. I had this idea for the song for a little while, and I knew we were going into the cigar shop, so figured, you know what, I got this title about Smoke in the Rain and this concept, and obviously drawing off of past relationships. As a songwriter, you got to draw off these past relationships to try to make it as authentic as possible. So, yeah, we sat in there and fired up a cigar and wrote the song Smoke in the Rain, and it turned out great. It was one of those songs where after we finished, we knew we had something special, and it was pretty cool once we got it recorded and put on the album, and it really has resonated with people. It's probably one of my favorite songs to play live, just because, like you said, the Hey Nows, people just love singing along to that, and people really love that song.
Let's hear it now. This is Chad Brownlee, Smoke in the Rain on In the Country.
words from under your bed. Be gone before you even know I live.
A great song from my guest, Chad Brownlee, and that is called Smoke in the Rain. The album is Love Me or Leave Me. You can learn more about him and check out some other tunes and videos at chadbrownlee.com. He's on Facebook and Twitter as well. I wanted to talk about some of your other awards. We talked about, of course, the Juno nomination for Best Country Album coming up a bit later this month. At the British Columbia Country Music Awards, their association awarded you back in December with six different awards. Entertainer of the Year, Album of the Year for Love Me or Leave Me, of course, Single of the Year for the title track, Fans' Choice Award, Male Vocalist, and SoCan Songwriter of the Year. And you shared that along with Mitch Merritt and Ben Glover, Love Me or Leave Me.
Yeah, it was kind of embarrassing going up for those last few, I think. I wanted someone else to maybe come accept them for me, but no, I'm so lucky to have such amazing support here in BC and across Canada, but yeah, the last two BCCMAs have just been pretty unbelievable for me.
And you won at the CCMA Rising Star Award, that was in 2011, and last year in 2012 nominated for CCMA Male Vocalist of the Year. I'm sure this year a similar thing will happen as well. Let's talk about shooting videos. Now, you've done a video for just about all of your songs. Day After You was one of the first. It did really well at CMT. The newest one is called Crash. People can see that on CMT and at your website, YouTube, all those places. Talk about videos, Chad, and how much you enjoy and what's the best part of making videos.
I really enjoy them. It just allows me to really get inside the character of the song that I'm singing about. You know, when I'm on stage, I'm a performer, I'm entertaining, I'm still inside the song, but this way it's kind of a different art form. You know, you're visually creating this song, and I really enjoy that process. It's a lot of fun. It's a song, even if I didn't write it, you know, it's understanding the character and getting inside of it. So I really enjoy the process.
Is there a challenging part to it?
Yeah, when you have to stand in cold water and sing without your teeth chattering together. That happened when I did the Crash video. It looks very warm and tropical. We were in California, but it was around freezing when I got there. And then the water was very, very cold, and I spent a few hours in it. So you can just imagine how cold I was. And my jaw was actually dithering and chattering, and I was trying to sing and look normal all at the same time. So obviously there are a lot of worse things I could be complaining about, but
true.
That was just
yeah.
the recent one that comes to mind.
That is awesome. Did you come from a musical family at all, or is this a path you've started on your own?
No, yeah, I didn't have anybody in my immediate family. I mean, there's maybe a few generations back. Had a great aunt that would read music by ear, and but there wasn't a lot. I think it was more my experiences as a kid. I felt the emotion of music when I started playing piano. And I think that's what really gave me the bug. I was playing the song, and I really started to feel the emotion of it. And I think that was kind of the turning point for me, was this is something special. There's something cool about this thing you call music. And I just I kept going down that road, and I never looked back.
That is such a big part of music. I mean, I guess it could go without saying, but you know, if you're a great singer, that's great. But if you can put that emotion in and move an audience, that takes things to a whole other level.
Absolutely, and that's the power of music. I mean, if you can influence somebody in a positive way through music, I mean, that's so much power right there, and it can easily be abused. So fortunately, I realized that I'm in a position to, write positive music and music that people have fun to. So just very fortunate to be in this spot for sure.
Now, there's a song on the album that you co-wrote, and it's one of my favorites. It's got such a powerful message. Leave Here Dying Young.
Make sure you learn to let it roll, 'cause it's all gone before you know. Don't let the sunset glow find you a bitter soul. Counting down.
It's one of my favorites. It's one of those songs, like a Garth Brooks song or a Tim McGraw, Live Like You Were Dying, one of those that really calls you to live your life.
Yeah, I mean, the song definitely explains itself, and the video. My dad and I had so much fun shooting that day. We weren't acting, you know. We were just out there having fun, passing the puck around, and just being ourselves. So it was a really cool moment that my dad and I could share. And obviously, the song means so much to me, and it's very, very close to my heart, because my dad really is a big kid, and he does teach me to stay young. And he's 67 now. It says 65 in the song. That's just when I wrote
That's right,
it.
That's right. The opening line.
You know. Yeah. So I mean, you wouldn't know it. So he teaches me a lot, and that's one of the main things that he's taught me.
I think that song's really going to resonate with listeners. They're going to find a lot in it. There's emotion in it, very inspiring. And I love the title, too. I mean, the whole concept, but Leave Here Dying Young. Do you recall how that title, if that was what you started with, came about?
That's a good question. Sometimes in the songwriting process, I couldn't tell you. There's really no rhyme or reason. These things just kind of come out of thin air, and I kind of put it, you know, the song has already been written. We're just the vehicles to bring it into reality, and that's kind of the way that I have to think anyways. As a writer, you have to trust the process. You have to allow the creativity to flow through you. And when that's combined with something that's near and dear to your heart, like the song Leave Here Dying Young, it's pretty special when it turns out right.
And what's the co-writing experience like? A lot of co-writing on this album, Mitch Merritt, Ben Glover, some others. Is that more fun than sitting around by yourself writing a song? You're bouncing ideas off and creating something together?
Yeah, I mean, I love sitting down by myself, too, and just going through ideas. But to have other people around as a sounding board to give their ideas, to kind of move things along, it really does help. And, you know, you're sharing your personal stories with these other people. But as songwriters, you understand that. You want to hear these personal stories because that's what's going to make a great song. And I've been fortunate enough to be involved with some really, really great co-writers that have helped the process along. And, you know, they kind of help dig out the ideas that are already in your mind, but it really speeds up the process, and it's really enjoyable to have that feedback from somebody. So I enjoy getting together with people to write.
And Mitch Merritt, a regular co-writer of yours, I believe he was one of the producers on the album, and he wrote, among many other songs, Aaron Prichette's Hold My Beer, co-wrote that song, a huge hit in Canada. He's a great guitar player, phenomenal. Talk about working with Mitch.
Mitch has been great. He was one of the first guys that I met in the country world. He's now my manager. So he's really helped pave the way to where my success is now. He's a really very talented guy as a musician, as a producer, and as a writer. So, very fortunate to be on the same team as Mitch. Hopefully we've got a lot more music to make together.
Does it take a while to get comfortable in the studio? You know, the first few times you're going in and just, you've got to get into a zone when you're singing a song, an emotional place anyway, depending on what the song's calling for.
Yeah, I mean, I really try to get inside the song. It's kind of like what I was talking about before with the video and becoming that character that you're singing about. But the studio process is so much fun. It's an extension of the writing process because, you know, you've written the words, you've got the chord progression, but now you're bringing in other musicians and they're putting their flavor and their style on the song. And sometimes it takes it somewhere else. You really have to allow that to happen organically. You can't go into the studio with a prefixed idea of what you want it to sound like. You want an idea, but you have to allow room for that creativity to flow, and you have to allow, you know, I say let the painter paint, so let the guitar player kind of do his thing, let the drummer do his thing, and once we've kind of laid down the bed tracks and we've got most of the structure down, then I really get into that vocal mindset and start painting the picture that the way that I want it. So it's such a rewarding process, and when you finally hear that final master and you're happy with it, it's just such an amazing feeling.
Yeah, I bet you probably heard some of your songs that before that would have been just on guitar or piano before the full production, all the bells and whistles. It must have taken a lot of the songs to a whole other level. Were you sitting back sometimes and saying to yourself, I knew that was a great song, but now it's, you know, one level up because of the production?
Absolutely. No, totally. I mean, I've written songs where I was kind of like, okay, it's okay. It's a good song, but I don't know if it's great. And then we record it, and it's like, okay, this is a great song. I mean, this is a single. This is fantastic. Let's get it out there.
Right.
So that's why you kind of have to, like I was saying, you got to have that space to allow that creativity musically to add to that song. So you don't want to get married to just the acoustic version, because there is so much room for improvement. Or sometimes it's happened the other way. Sometimes I felt really optimistic about a song, and then it turned out to be not the same. So, yeah, definitely keeping an open mind helps.
That's interesting how it can work both ways. Now, some of the last-minute touches or surprises, as you talked about, spontaneous moments that might make a song come alive. Have you had some of those? And does that tie in at all to, like, Hey Now? Was that, when you were doing, like, an acoustic version of it, a big part of it, or did that get a little pumped up more when you were in the studio?
I wrote that with Phil Barton, Brian White, and Mitch Merritt. And Phil Barton is such a fun guy to work with. He's high energy. He's, you know, running around the room. And so that was definitely a flavor of his. And it just came out. And all of us at the same time were like, that is hooky. That is great. And we just kept going down that road. And, yeah, it's just become anthemic almost when we play it live.
Yeah, I'll bet. Let's talk about the song Crash, which I'm going to play in just a few moments. It's your brand new one, doing so well at Country Radio. I was reading up on it, and it's just getting played a lot. And, of course, the video is out there as well at CMT. What can you tell us about the song and the inspiration behind the writing, Chad?
I wrote that about the moment I met my wife, actually. I was going to university in Minnesota, at Minnesota State, and we were taking the same class together. And I had just gotten out of a relationship before that, and I said to myself, I was done with relationships at the time. And so the last thing I was looking for was another girlfriend. And she came along and crashed into my life when I least expected it. And that's where the inspiration of the song came from.
Let's hear it now. Crash from Chad Brownlee on In the Country.
It's 6:35, half asleep, half alive, just another day. Life's like a red light, sometimes it feels like it will never change. The same road to nowhere, same faces passing me by. I couldn't have planned it to be so distracted by your eyes. And cry like a train through a house of glass. It starts falling right where I'm at. Like a tidal wave washes away the past. Ooh, crash. Feeling so numb, so afraid, so undone. Is this just a dream? Oh, have to compress away so fast. Oh, oh, crash. Oh, oh, crash.
A beautiful song from my guest, a British Columbia country artist, Chad Brownlee. That is called Crash, from his album Love Me or Leave Me, which is up for a Juno later this month for Best Country Album of the Year. You can head to chadbrownlee.com. You can find him on Facebook and Twitter. That is such a beautiful song. I mean, there's so much emotion in it, and the production on it is just superb, Chad.
Yeah, Paul Chateau is the engineer on that, and obviously Mitch Merritt was producing, so I've had some great help in making this music.
Now, I understand that you're quite excited to be playing at a big event coming up in June, Country at the Creek, taking place in Big River, Saskatchewan. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's this early in my career, it's very rare that I can say that I'm headlining a show. So seems like there's lots of buzz, and just can't wait to get out there.
Something to look forward to for all your fans. I wanted to get into some of your influences over the years, Chad, from back in the day and to present. Who are those artists you look up to, maybe you wanted to model your career after one point, or at least got you excited about pursuing music?
Yeah, I think it's been a collection of artists along the way, but the first one that got me into country music was Garth Brooks. He really caught my interest just with his music style and who he is as an entertainer. I mean, he put on such an amazing show. I learned every word to his hits album, and
right.
So he really brought me into the country world, and haven't really looked back since. And I'm a huge fan of Jason Aldean, Eric Church, obviously Dierks Bentley. So that kind of style of the country world, and it's not just country. I mean, I'm influenced by Jack Johnson as well. Lyrically, I think he's one of the best writers out there. So yeah, I pick up things along the way. You know, I might hear something on the radio, or you know, I see a show that has inspired me. So there's so many little moments that have really brought me to where I am now as an artist. So it's tough to really just pinpoint a few, because there's been so much inspiration over the years.
There's a bunch of them, and I bet all of them, most of them, especially Garth, probably taught you something about performing on stage, and you would see how he performed. I mean, talk about not just standing there, but totally interacting with the crowd, running from one side to the other. So you probably brought a lot of that into your act.
Definitely. I mean, I'm nowhere near the entertainer Garth Brooks is, and I don't run around as much as he does, but I think, you know, you pick things up subconsciously the more that you watch these pros and what they do. So I think he'll always be an inspiration of mine.
Now, have you had the chance so far, this happens to a lot of artists when they get out there and their music becomes popular, they get a chance to turn non-country fans into country fans. So music listeners out there who maybe thought they didn't like country music, and then they hear a song of yours and start to listen to more of it and realize they kind of can get into the genre.
Yeah, that's actually one of my favorite compliments, is when somebody says, I don't really like country, but I like your stuff. So I'm glad I can be the gateway artist for fans to come into the country world, because you know what, there really is a lot of good country music, and I think people just don't give it a chance sometimes. So I'm glad that hopefully I can, you know, bring them into this genre, and they can experience all the other great artists that are here as well.
Yeah, they start listening to you, and then maybe they're doing it on iTunes. They're coming across Dierks Bentley, Dallas Smith, Blake Shelton, if they hadn't heard of him, and all these people, and suddenly they realize, yeah, it's pretty good music. Speaking of good music, on your album, I want to talk about one of the songs in there. It's the one that closes it off. It's a very cool song, Wagon Wheel, quite an interesting history. Old Crow Medicine Show had a big hit with it. Bob Dylan wrote it. I guess the chorus he had written, Ketch Secker,
yep,
from the group, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, from Old Crow Medicine Show, wrote lyrics around it, and that's basically how the song Wagon Wheel came about. So talk about your choosing to record the song, Chad.
Yeah, it sounds like you've done your research. That's exactly it. And I don't think many people really know where that song came from and where it was rooted. And it's kind of cool that it first came from Bob Dylan's mind, and Old Crow Medicine Show got a hold of it. And I love their version. I think it's fantastic. And we decided to do a little bit different than what they do. I mean, you obviously want to make a song your own and make it true to who you are. So, and the other singer on the album, Matt Anderson, was also a big inspiration on why I wanted to perform that song. I saw him perform it live once. I thought, this is just a fantastic song. I saw everybody singing along and having a great time. And this this is just infectious. I want to be a part of this. It just felt like a wave. And now with Darius Rucker singing it, there's numerous covers of this song. So I feel like it's one of those songs now that has just reverberated through the music world, through all genres too. I mean, I feel like lots of other artists have been doing it, either posting it on YouTube or releasing it as a single. And it's probably one of my favorite songs to play live as well. And it's kind of funny because in between each song, when I'm playing a concert, at least somebody yells out Wagon Wheel.
Right.
And I have to say, we'll get to that one. And I think if I just played a whole concert of Wagon Wheel, they'd be happy. But yeah, that song has just been fantastic for us and everybody else too in the music world.
how songs like that take off. Like, you've got Leonard Cohen, Hallelujah, which obviously is a slow song, but in the same way that so many people cover it and people embrace it, Wagon Wheel is just one of those songs.
Yeah, and you know what? I think music needs to be approached as it's something very universal, and whether you play music or you can't sing a lick, it's something that we all share. We either feel it, we can either perform it, we can write it, but there's some aspect of music that I think everybody in this world can share. And when there's something like a Wagon Wheel comes along, I think it needs to be shared, and it is. And I think people are noticing that. So it's very fun to be a part of something like this.
It's a feel-good song for sure. Are there any other covers, Chad, that you do at your shows that we'd be interested in knowing about? Maybe they're different genres. You're mixing things up a bit. Anything interesting in that sense?
Yeah, I love my classic rock, and I'm a huge Tom Petty fan and the Beatles, and I play Free Fallin' and You Wreck Me and Come Together. I just played on the last tour in Dallas, and that was one that we sang together from the Beatles. Simple Man by Leonard Skinner. Even Eddie Vedder, Hard Sun. I mean, I was a huge fan of Pearl Jam growing up, and I tried to sing like Eddie all the time. He was a huge influence on my voice. So
yeah.
It's a lot of fun to play one of his songs live, and we actually throw in Poker Face every once in a while. We do our own version of it. So I see a shocked look on some people's face, other people laugh, and others sing along. So we try to keep people on their toes, but for the most part, I love the classic rock songs. They're just so much fun to play live, and everybody knows it too, so they can sing along.
That's right. Yeah, it's great when the band starts up, and you know, after the first couple of chords or five or six, you know what song it is, and everybody gets right into it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. I wanted to give you a chance as we get set to wrap up here, Chad, to send a message out to your fans, how important they are to you, how they supported you, because you have got some very enthusiastic fans out there.
My fans are unbelievable, and I'm realizing that more and more every show that I play. And really, I'm nothing without the fans, and I'm not just saying that because I try to remind myself every show that I'm not up there for myself. I'm up there to create a good time because, you know, everybody spends their money and their time to come out to these shows. I have to make it worthwhile. So I have a huge debt to all my fans. Can't say thank you enough. And I can't wait to keep meeting new fans along the road.
Chad, thank you so much. It has been such a pleasure for you to spend this time, get to chat with you and to share the songs and get some of the stories behind them. Thanks so much for being part of it.
Anytime, Dave. Appreciate it, man.
My guest today has been British Columbia country artist Chad Brownlee. The album is called Love Me or Leave Me. It's nominated for a Juno a bit later this month, Best Country Album of the Year. And at the last British Columbia Country Music Association Awards, he won 6 of their big awards. My name's Dave Woods. It's been another big night in the country.